Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family owned from the start. Same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Beckless AB to CV 2024, Proximo, Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
The John Anik and Kenny Florian Podcast. John Anik and Kenny Florian.
I fucking love them. I can't get enough of them.
Let's hear that Boston accent.
Big jab there from Duffy and Brett Mears. Hurt now.
Down goes Duffy on call. Brett Mears does it again.
Rock'em sock'em robots here. Oh my goodness.
Hyperbole.
They're a couple of absolutely self-involved bullshit artists.
Here are your hosts, John Anik and Kenny Florian.
All right, just like that, UFC 273. Fight week is upon us, sort of, I guess. Saturday, April 2nd, 2022. It's episode 343 of the Anik and Florian podcast. If you're only a listener, you're missing out on my Kenny Florian t-shirt today. I mean,
look at that.
Let's go, Team Florian president.
Gosh.
Keith is the vice president. I'm the president, Keith. Right? You know, Dr. Florian, I'm the president of this fucking thing. It's good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you as well. It was a time when I was definitely way more ripped, much better shape.
Oh, my God.
And certainly more handsome. But yeah. My beard was pretty weak. So
and staring death in the face. In
oh, my gosh. Over.
So I got my Bitcoin on Gemini, okay? I thought that was enough, and they call that a wallet. But I guess I need now like a hard drive wallet. Is that what you're telling me? I mean, I'm not trying to turn this into a Bitcoin program, and I know you probably get paid for your Bitcoin analysis, but like you got to help a brother out. Do I need a hard drive now too? Is that
yeah.
what you have being sent to me, Kenny, or what?
Yeah, it looks like a little thumb drive, little cold wallet or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, and you know, you have that. You set that up. We could talk about some security measures you could take
right
for that and right. Yeah, that's the way to do it, dude.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
so I guess so. Will that be like tied to my like Gemini stuff? Like that Gemini stuff will be on the hard drive or no?
Exactly, you'll send that, you can send that over to, you know, your little all hardware. Right. It's almost like you have it on the phone or whatever, right. And then boom, secure.
My goodness gracious, you yeah. know. Unbelievable. I'm just trying to follow Ken Flo's lead now, but this is a mixed martial arts program, and we have got a lot to get to today. A lot of big favorites at UFC 273,
yep.
and a lot of people are talking about that. So certainly plenty to get to with James Krause in the main event challenge. He is in New Orleans. We will also talk to what we hope is a spirited Ray Longo. You know, I know you've got some things you're going to throw his way as far as the first fight, having rewatched it. And, you know, we'll see if Longo responds or if he just kind of, you know, sidesteps you like he is so accustomed to doing. And I will also talk to big gun Brian Petrie before we get on out of here. So big things ahead today on the Anik and Florian podcast. You got two titles up for grabs. It is a loaded UFC 273 fight card. And you can get in on the action with DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC. New customers can bet $5 on any fighter and get $100 in free bets, win or lose. It's guaranteed. And also, if the sportsbook is not available in your state, it's not a problem. You can still get in on the excitement. Everyone out there can play for a share of millions in prizes with the DraftKings Daily Fantasy MMA Contest. All you need to do is draft your lineup of fighters, which is wicked fun to do, by the way, if you haven't done so yet. You draft your lineup all while staying under the salary cap. You rack up points for strikes, takedowns, knockouts, things like that. And I can assure you DraftKings is safe. It is secure. It is reliable. And best of all, you can withdraw and deposit your cash whenever you want. I make more deposits than withdrawals, but that's okay. So to get involved for UFC 273, all you need to do, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code ANIK, A-N-I-K. Throw $5 down on UFC 273 and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That's code ANIK this Saturday at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC. 21 plus restrictions apply. See show notes for more details. All right. We're not going to bury the lead today. Let us get to the selections for UFC 273. Let's get to the main event challenge.
It's the main event challenge. ANIK.
The time is most definitely now.
Florian.
I finished fights. I'm going to do everything possible to win.
The main event challenge. The John ANIK and Kenny Florian podcast.
All right. Joining us to make picks today, pay-per-view week. head coach and owner of Glory MMA Fitness in Kansas City, Missouri, and so much more than that. UFC veteran, the James Krause is with us. So you're in New Orleans right now, ex-MMA tonight, Cole Smith in the building. How you feeling just a few hours out, my man?
I don't need to feel good. I'm not fighting, so. no, it's I, you know what's crazy is I don't think I've ever been here before. I don't think I've ever been to New Orleans.
There you go.
And it's an absolute shit show here right now because the NCAA tournament's here. Like, you're not going anywhere to eat any less than, like, 45 minutes, hour away. It's crazy right now.
Lot of noise. All right, well, hopefully we won't keep you too long today. Just four picks, actually. Main card still getting sorted out. Removal of the fight recently between Kelvin Gastelum and Drakus Duplessis. So first fight for us. Dying to know where you guys stand on it. At strawweight, a pick'em, Mackenzie Dern and Tish Torres. Minus 110 on both sides. James Krause, I'm glad I'm not making a selection today. Who do you have?
I wish I wasn't either. This one's a tough one, man. It's one of those ones where if the fight stays standing, it's a heavy lean on Torres. If it goes to the ground, it's a heavy lean on Dern. I feel like historically, dude, I literally am going to change my pick right now.
Yes, I like that. I was gonna play
Tisha Torres, and it's because I feel like her footwork is so good. She's not easy to take down. She moves really well, strikes really well, always striking on the move. I like that a lot. But I feel like Mackenzie Dern, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like she's gotten every single person she's fought down, with maybe an exception of like the quick knockout she's got in the UFC. She even got Marina Rodriguez down for a round. And I feel like if this fight hits the ground, it's gonna be bad news for Torres. You know, I feel that way. So I guess I'm going to go Dern. I don't feel great about it, though.
Yeah, it's interesting. Kenny, Mackenzie Dern figures to have learned a lot from those 25 minutes with Marina Rodriguez. That was last October in a main event. Tisha Torres has won three in a row, and that came after an extended losing streak. I think Torres is going to continue to present her best version to date. I really do. The question is it enough, Ken Flo, this Saturday night against Mackenzie Dern?
Yeah, listen, I like the fact that Tisha Torres has been really consistent lately. I think that on the feet, she's going to be a problem. Not so much because she's this devastating striker who throws all these crazy strikes, but I do like her footwork. Like James said, she knows how to punch and move really well. I think, you know, her stocky stature makes it difficult to change levels on her. She's athletic and strong. It's tough to take her down. Where I'm most concerned is sometimes in defending the takedown, she gives her back from the standing position. She fights hands and she turns out. Someone like Mackenzie Dern will hop on your back. That's concerning to me. And just like a lot of great one-punch knockout artists, Mackenzie kind of just needs to get you down. If she has 30 seconds or more, you're in big trouble. She's that good on the ground and she'll have that kind of advantage. Yeah. However, I would like to see more development in her striking and primarily her takedowns. I haven't quite seen that yet. I have seen improvement in her striking, but I think Tisha has an ability to throw off even more experienced strikers. So for that, I'm going with Tisha. It's hard to go against Mackenzie. I love her. She's so sweet. She's great, talented jiu-jitsu player. But I think at this stage of their careers, Tisha has the advantage.
I love that this fight was put together, and I like to hear the opinions, obviously. All right, and welterweight featured bout here. 11th-ranked Khamzat Chimaev is minus 525, taking on the number 2-ranked contender, Gilbert Burns, who is plus 385. So Chimaev turns 28 on May 1st. 4-0 in the UFC, 10-0 overall, as dominating a prospect as I have ever seen. I am not surprised by this line in the slightest bit. Certainly Gilbert Burns is the far more UFC tested party. I train with his strength and conditioning coaches once a week, so I intimately know this camp and these guys and strategically what they're all about. And it's not that I don't give him a chance. And if you want to say the betting line is disrespectful, I'm not going to sit here and get into a long-winded debate with you. But I believe he deserves this distinction and this type of respect that he's getting. I just think he's the bigger man, but I think it'll be competitive for however long it lasts. James, ultimately, they don't care where I stand. They want to know which way you're going.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Let's lead off with this. Where would you put the line at on Chimaev versus Usman?
Well, I think it would be probably close to a pick'em, right? What do you think? Kamaru would be like 2-1? So here's the thing.
I would hope so.
I mean, like, Vicente Luque is favored to beat Bilal Muhammad, right? Like, what is Chimaev against Vicente, right? Like, and it isn't a means of disrespect, right? But there's one segment of people that are like, hey, man, you know, like, I can lay the price on Chimaev and I'm going to. And then there's the far larger majority that suggests this is the most disrespectful betting line that they've ever seen. To me, you know, I see a weight class discrepancy here. And ultimately, Gilbert's not going to know the strength until he gets there, if indeed the fight does get there. But I'm excited to see what Gilbert can do with the opportunity, and he's certainly unfazed by that betting line, I can tell you that.
Well, let me just tell you where I was going with that. So on some books, I've seen Gilbert as high as like plus 600, 575. Right, right. As the closing line, I just looked before we got on, the closing line on Burns versus Usman was around minus 200 on most books. You're telling me that Chimaev is three times the favorite as the undefeated number one pound-for-pound champion in the world? That just doesn't make sense to me. And we're also talking about he's facing a guy that has realistically gotten the closest to beating the champion.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's gotten closer. You talk about, you can make the argument for Colby going the distance or whatever, but I'm talking about the ability to finish that fight. No one has gotten closer to beating Usman than Gilbert Burns in recent history. Right. And I'm sure if we go down the road, I could be wrong on that or whatever. But in the last, let's call it 3 years, no one's gotten close. Right. And except for Burns, hurt him, dropped him. And so the fact that you're telling me that Chimaev is three times the favorite over the man that's gotten the closest to being the number one pound for pound welterweight champion is ridiculous to me. I'm not saying that Chimaev is not going to win.
Sure.
But from a betting perspective, if I can get a guy that is him the closest to being the number one pound for pound world champion, undisputed champion, if I can get him at 4-1, I have to do it. I have to.
Yeah. Well, certainly in our scoring system, it makes a lot of sense to go the Gilbert Burns way. And Kenfo, he's a dog. There's no doubt about it. You know, he is so comfortable anywhere the fight goes. I mean, I don't know that there's any athlete in the division that is so comfortable anywhere a fight goes. Ultimately,
and probably the best grappler in the UFC, like MMA grappler. I mean, that's arguable. Stylistically, I just can't. There's no way, yeah, man. I just can't do it.
Kenny, what do you have on Chimaev and Burns?
Listen, I absolutely agree with Krause, and so far as there is great value in Gilbert Burns. Why? Obviously, everything that Gilbert has achieved. You look at his background, all that stuff, and for Chimaev. You know, I feel like I only know a fighter when they've been tested, right? It's easy, you know, when things are going well and you're smashing everybody. And hey, maybe Khamzat is that good. Maybe he's that good where no one has challenged him and even had a right to challenge him at this point. He's done this in two different weight classes, 185, 170. You know, I know he doesn't love cutting down to 170 pounds. He does it, and he's massive for the weight class. What we've seen from him is tremendous wrestling, excellent boxing with power. He can mix it up. He's extremely confident. He knows how to control you. The reason why I'm going to pick Khamzat Chimaev is I think he's been very dominant. I think he's been dominant for a reason. I think there's a lot of great fighters that have trained with him that are saying the same things. And that matters to me. You know, it doesn't mean he's going to go out there and beat Gilbert Burns. I think it will be closer than people think. But if he does go out there and in dominant fashion beat Gilbert Burns, he's going to be fighting for the belt in the very near future. And I think those odds against Usman might be very close, as you say, John. I'll go with Chimaev just because, although Gilbert is tremendous on the ground and he's still a threat off of his back, I think his main strength is being on top of you. If he gets on top of Chimaev, he can pose some serious problems. I just think with the wrestling disadvantage, though, I don't necessarily see that happening. Chimaev knows how to scramble, all that stuff. Fascinating fight. We should find out a lot about how good Chimaev is or isn't after this one against Gilbert Burns.
And then maybe how good Li Jingliang is or Gerald Mershart, right?
Because
James, I don't know how much time you have, right? But like the late Jing Liang has had a pretty damn good UFC career, right? 10-4 or so, I think, going into the Khamzat Chimaev fight. And certainly this is a prime Li Jing Liang, you know, that.
Yeah, but stylistically, hold on a second. Stylistically, that's a nightmare matchup for him, though.
Sure.
Stylistically. Sure, I mean, we're talking about that, like Li Jing Liang, he's good. You match him up with the strikers. He's fun as shit to watch. I love watching Duke. You match him up with a mauler wrestler like Chimaev or Magny did the same thing.
So Gilbert Burns mops the floor with the leech is what you're telling me.
100%.
Right. And and perhaps so, you know, I can assure you the betting line on the leech and Gilbert Burns is a little bit tight.
I don't think he's even been hit. Like the fight that keeps coming to my mind is Terrence McKinney and Drew Dober. And I love Terrence McKinney, but like whenever you get to a certain level, and I'm not saying Shamayev's not on this level. I'm just saying I don't know enough information. Without that information, Kenny just said this best. Like, I don't know a fighter until he's been tested. I haven't even seen this dude been hit yet. Like,
right.
And is he that good? Maybe he is that good. I don't know. And because I don't know, I'm not placing that damn money on it.
Yeah. No, I love it. I think that's fair. I think you guys are on fire today. All right. Co-main event. Piotr Jan -450, Aljamain Sterling +340. The price, of course, was a whole lot closer when these guys met for the first time about a year ago, UFC 259. Since Aljo hasn't fought, he's had neck surgery. Jan, of course, regaining a piece of the title, if you want to call it that. The interim championship last October in Abu Dhabi, unanimous decision over 5 rounds over Corey Sandhagen. So you're paying a price on Piotr Jan, obviously. James, what do you think about the co-headliner here?
Listen, I hate the price. I mean, it's very disrespectful of Aljamain Sterling. You know, obviously you watch him in the first round of that fight and he looked incredible in that fight. Aljamain has the submission equivalent of a knockout, in my opinion. And I think if he gets Jan down, he could, I've grappled with Aljamain and he's a monster on the ground. The dude's a problem on the ground for anyone.
Yeah.
And the problem is getting him down is going to be the big issue. But because Aljamain has the equivalent of a knockout punch on the ground, he has the ability to take somebody down and finish a fight, just like we were talking about with Mackenzie Dern earlier. Because he has that, I can't play the big money, the big chalk here. Now, if you have a gun to my head and you say, James, pick a fighter, I'm probably going to go with Jan, just because I feel like as the fight goes longer, he seems to steam. Like, he seems to gain power as it keeps going. Aljamain in the last fight started to fade. I think he started a little too fast. He faded, and I'm assuming they're going to make these adjustments, right? But after watching Jan in the Sandhagen fight, he just keeps getting better and better and better. The more he gets, I don't necessarily think it's a cardio thing. I think it's a timing thing, right? Because Aljamain doesn't slow in any other fight, right? So it's not a cardio thing for him. It's a timing thing, and I think that they've had 25 minutes together. I think Jan's going to start a little faster, and he's going to find him a little earlier than he did before. If a gun to my head, I have to go Jan. This is one of those ones where I would play Jan, but I would go Aljamain by submission.
Okay. All right. So you bet on Aljo, but ultimately gun to your head, you like Piotr Jan. Is that right?
No, but if you're going to bet, you're plus 600, 700, something in there,
right,
you know?
Right. Yeah, Kenny, it's an interesting fight, right? I mean, a lot of valuable experience gained for sure for Sterling and his coaches, but there was a lot that went Piotr Jan's way in that first meeting. You know, some people have suggested when they watch back that UFC 259 meeting, I haven't done so yet, that it was closer than they initially thought it was. What are your thoughts on this budding rivalry and ultimately how much finality we get Saturday night?
Yeah, listen, I think some great thoughts there from James, you know, all of which I agree with. I did go back and watch that. I thought that Aljo actually won the first 2 rounds. Things started to there was a momentum shift that was going Piotr Jan's way. That's just the way he fights. He is of the technical variety of fighter that is, especially, you know, with 5 rounds, he's going to have an advantage in that he reads you the first round, second round settles into his game, third, fourth, fifth, he's pulling away from you and starts to really throw bombs into that third and fourth round. So once he finds his rhythm, Jan is an absolute beast. Now, I think he's got the advantage in some areas. In watching the Aljo fight, what was surprising to me was I actually think that Aljo has more to gain from the fight as far as going back and going, all right, this was working, this was not. There's very, I think, clear points during the fight where Aljo stopped doing a certain thing. He was not as active. He wasn't throwing as much variety. I don't think he was pacing himself very well. I think there was a certain amount of nervousness and excitement there that he wasn't so settled into his body. And I think he can make some easy, maybe not easy, but he can definitely make some adjustments in this fight to get things to go his way. Now, as James very intelligently pointed out, Jan already having been in the cage with Aljo can make those very same adjustments. And having been in there, he might just get off to a quicker start than he normally does for this one against Aljo. If that's the case, I think Jan, you know, may just win this fight. He definitely has the advantage on the feet. He can wrestle. That could go either way. But I think for Aljo, he's got to pace himself. And due to the value here in Aljamain, you know, given that last time I looked, he was a plus 340 underdog.
Yeah.
I like that here. I really do. And, you know, Ray's been singing his praises. It seems like he's doing everything right. I love the way Petr Yan fights. He's one of my favorite fighters in the UFC right now. I don't know. I kind of like Aljo here. I think people are kind of sleeping on him a little bit.
Well, if you're asking me if I see more value on Gilbert Burns plus 385 or Aljamain Sterling plus 340, I'm not going to tell you because I'm calling the fight. But it's interesting, James. You know what I have written down on my fighter?
I was actually going to ask you that. I was like, I'm really curious now.
Yeah, no, I'd probably disclose more than I can do right now. But yeah, what I mean, right. It's easy for me to hop on a microphone next week and say I told you so, but I'll tell you exactly how I feel about that next week. I have written down on my Petr Yan fighter card, like playing with his food, like in the Faber fight, maybe he could have gotten him out of there earlier. And, and sometimes that's like a negative connotation when it really shouldn't be. And it's maybe that I'm not watching it with a sophisticated enough eye and he's not at all playing with his food. He's getting his reads, you know, but
yeah, I think he's very patient. I think he's very patient in how he attacks. And, I don't think you're wrong. I think there would, you know, I think there are some times where he could turn it up a little bit. He plays it safe. He's as aggressive of a fighter as he is, he does play it safe sometimes. I don't mind that, man. Like, the dude is incredible. Right, like, I like his game a lot. He knows. Right. I think he knows when to turn it up and when not to. You know what I mean? Yeah. And like, it's hard to turn it up on some of these guys because when you do at that high level, they'll make you pay for it. I mean, I think he's a very, very intelligent fighter with maybe some of the best fight IQ in that division, at least. You know, he's incredible. He reads well.
Yeah, he's hit a 10 on the tough prick scale, the nasty prick scale as well.
Oh, he's got it all.
He gets a 10, yeah.
He's got it all. Couple sons, beautiful wife. There's a lot of people I trust who think he's going to go down as the greatest bantamweight of all time. Certainly needs a win Saturday night. All right, main event for the UFC's undisputed featherweight title. Widespread here. Alexander Volkanovsky minus 720. Chan Sung Jung plus 500. Volko's won 20 in a row. Chan Sung Jung won a main event against Dan Ige. That was his last fight last June. Pretty remarkably, he fought Jose Aldo for the title back in 2013, then the military service. So the Korean Zombie is 4-2 in this sort of second UFC stint since he returned in 2017. He has earned another championship opportunity. James Krause, what do you think he's able to do with it?
I'm a huge KZ fan. I like him a lot. And I have mixed feelings about this fight. I really watched Volkanovski. I'll be honest with you guys. I was late to the party because I just didn't see it, right? I didn't see, like, he's just so fundamental. He's a guy that I feel like when you watch him, it's like, man, he does everything right. But I have a feeling he's a feel guy. Like, when you get in there, it's just like, oh, shit, this is different. You know what I mean? Like, this is what they were talking about.
Right.
And when I started to break him down and I started to watch him, what I realized is, I think he may be the best fighter in the entire UFC at covering distance. He's incredibly safe, incredibly smart in how he covers distance, how he closes the gap. He does that probably better than anybody else in the entire UFC. Add that with he is definitely a top 10 most durable fighter in the UFC. And I'm talking about from a chin perspective, from a submission defense perspective, durability over five rounds perspective, and cardio plays into that as well, right? His overall durability to be in a fight for 25 minutes is absolutely incredible. Top 10 for sure. Top five, maybe. He's up there. But he covers distance so well. I think he's the best at it. And what I see this fight is I see, and this is where I was telling you I have some mixed feelings about this. I see the KZ Ortega fight, and I've seen Ortega kind of touching KZ up in that fight, you know. And then you go to Volkanovski and Ortega, and then you see the difference there, right? So there's like, there was obvious levels difference between those. The problem that I have that with that is, we talked about this before, is KZ and Ortega was on Fight Island. And I personally don't take those fights into consideration when I'm studying film for my fighters. I've seen too many guys come in saturated, under-recovered, and they look like shit. I just, I won't say I don't take it any into consideration. I don't take it near as much. Like, I give it like a half a point or whatever, just because I've seen so many guys come in like, oh man, what was wrong with him that time? You know, that 90 just looked off. Yeah, no shit, because he fought at 3:30 a.m. Off of a 16-hour plane ride, a nine-hour time change, and hadn't slept in 2 days. You know what I mean? Like, of course he looked like shit. So, gun to my head, Volkanovski. I think he's incredible. I think he's amazing. I think Max is the only guy in that division that can beat him. I don't. I love KZ. I just don't see it happening.
Ken Flo, main event UFC 273. How do you see it?
James talked about the same word that I had circled on my page, and it was durability. The durability of Volkanovski is something to behold, and it really is a superpower. When you can survive tremendous offense and find a way to not only get out of those positions, but come back and win rounds or win fights, I think it's a really special attribute that a lot of champions have. Volkanovski is one of them. And yeah, I think he does all the little things extremely well. And the basics, the fundamentals that every coach, every good coach tells you you should have, Volkanovski has that. So there's nothing that's like that wows you necessarily besides his durability and toughness, but it's that mastery of the basics and fundamentals which makes him really difficult to defeat. And I don't see it happening here against Korean Zombie. There's some improvements that I've seen in Korean Zombie defensively anyways, and he certainly had a huge gap there to make up, but I don't think it's enough for me to say he's going to go out there and beat Volkanovski. He hits hard, all that stuff. I don't see Volkanovski making major mistakes in this one. I think his consistency, his durability, and his ability to outpoint you and outsmart you is going to be the difference here. I think it's pretty clear for Volkanovski.
All right, minus 720 is a massive price for a UFC men's championship fight, but I'll leave it at that. All right, James, we wish you all the best tonight. What else you got going on other than sleeping less than 8 hours a night?
Tim's right over here. He's trying to lay down right now. He must have seen my story this morning. It was basically just a roll-off. I'm like, we're both just sighing, trying to, like, who's going to sleep shittier, Tim or I? I just started this betting Discord. I just started, I think, like a week ago. We do like betting, crypto, real estate. I think we have over 400 some members in a week. And I'm just giving out my betting picks and other crypto. I have a crypto play that I gave out that's up like 93% or something in a week. And yeah, we've been crushing it. So we killed it on Cage Warriors, and I give away a couple of free picks. There's a paid version and there's a free version too. So we've been crushing it, man. Just go to my if you follow me on Instagram, go to my story, and I have a link in there. Links in my bio too.
All right, at the James Krause, if you want to get on in. I'm kind of intrigued, if I'm being honest. Maybe when I get off the air. Hey, best of luck with Cole Smith tonight. Don fucking Sheamus in Boston. Hopefully he holds serve as well. And look forward to seeing you on the road in the not too distant future, brother. Appreciate your time as always.
Thanks.
See you, James.
Appreciate you guys.
All right, James Krause with us for the main event challenge. All right, now joining us from the MMA Takes podcast, at MMA Takes podcast, big gun Brian Petrie.
Hey!
Print the fucking shirts.
Let's go.
I mean, you got a nickname. It didn't take very long. Did Cody give you that nickname?
I think it was either Cody or Tim Berger, right? Is that it? Is Cody? Okay.
Oh, Will Berger? Yes. Okay.
Yeah, I saw it on Twitters, and my last name is kind of polarizing. I can't get a fucking nickname. Everyone just goes Petrie. So when I saw Big Gun, I'm like, hey, that's got to stick. Let's go.
Well, I mean, your segment on this show should be the Petrie dish, right? You get a little dish of fucking
that, I mean, Petrie, right? That's it, bud. Yeah, so, I like that.
You know, I mean, on weeks where you can't make picks, you know, when James Krause fucking pushes you to the side unceremoniously like a pay-per-view week, you know, bring on the fucking Petri dish, you know.
Let's go.
So welcome to the first installment of the Petri dish.
I love it.
And you know I'm leading with Khamza Chimaev. So I don't really have much more to add. You know, We talked about it with James Krause. I mean, he's a 5-1 favorite against the number two guy in the division. I guess I just want your thoughts on the price and if you are going to have any action on the fight.
Yeah, I'm going to have action on every fight. Whenever there's a UFC not, like, we're dark this weekend, I'm putting everything on the fight. Listen, the line, is it disrespectful? Maybe, maybe not, because what if Chimaev goes out there and fucking sleeps him in 2 seconds? Then who's talking now? The value boys out there, they love Gilbert Burns. Because, listen, I think Gilbert Burns is great. I think 70 might be a little too much for him. He's kind of bricked up. I think he's going to slow down a little bit. I know everyone likes to bring up the Dan Hooker knockout at 55, but 165 is a good weight class. Chimaev is fucking huge. He's going to end his career at 85 for sure. I have a little mole, a little buddy of mine who's been in Vegas for quite some time that trains out of a big Vegas gym, trains with Chimaev when he comes in and tells me Chimaev's a fucking the real deal, like a beast. And this guy's not very complimentary of fighters coming in like this. Like, he's like, no, Chimaev is everything you want him to be. And as a capper, as an MMA fan, one of my strong suits, I think, is to spot talent. And I got a hand up. I whiffed Chimaev bad. Like, I capped him when he came in. I'm like, yeah, I don't really see it, right? Okay, beat John Phillips. Oh, okay, beat Reese McKee. Cool. Right. What's the hype of this guy? And now I see it. Now I'm, like, clinging onto the bandwagon. Like, hey, let me fucking hop on, guys. There's some room still. The kid's unbelievable. And I like his mindset, right? I like his mindset. I love there's a lot of talk about Canelo boxing Usman. And Usman, you're my guy. I love you. You're pound for pound best, but you ain't fucking with Canelo. Let's kind of, I know it's a big check, but, and they interviewed Hosmat about that. Hosmat's like, no, why would I do that? He fucking beat me. But if he comes over to my world, I submit him in 10 seconds. And I love the ego check there where, like, you know, it's telling me something. And Gilbert Burns has all the moxie in the world. And I know, John, you said this before, and you've gotten some hate on the comments, and I want them to come after me. Huh. No one wants to fight Chimaev. No one's calling this guy out. Next to Usman and Colby, he's got the most juice in the division. Yeah, he's ranked 11th, but if you steal this hype, you're that guy. And you don't hear many people besides Neil Magny lining up to fight this guy. I actually think he's a very cerebral, smart fighter. I think he's going to knock out Gilbert Burns. I think we're going to see a lot like we saw in the GM3 fight where Jared Marchard, great on the ground, amazing submissions. He went up there and stood up with him. And Chimaev's got a great uppercut. He's got a really sick uppercut outside the UFC against one of Khabib guys, another high-level fighter who will probably make his way to the UFC one day. And Burns likes to dip his head a little bit of a shorter fighter. I think Chimaev by KO is what I'm going to fucking hammer. I get the line. I get it. You know, he's, you know, I'll smash everyone, brother. And I think he's going to fucking do it. And, props to Gilbert Burns, though. I get it. People are overlooking him a little bit. But, I mean, I got the googly eyes for Chimaev.
Brian, what's your play? Do you have a strong play on Mackenzie Dern versus Tisha Torres?
Yeah, I want to
get an interesting one. Yeah,
fight. I'm curious if you're going to play this fight.
I'm going to play this fight. I've always played Mackenzie Dern. She is one of my favorite fighters for numerous reasons, and but she's amazing. Like, literally, ever since she came back from having a kid, her bodies look great. Her cardio's look great. She's aggressive. Her stand-up's looking great. Her wrestling is coming along. But just imagine if she could take everyone down, how good she is. Because she's light years above those females on the ground. Like, she is fucking dangerous. Off her back, on top, everywhere. But Tornado, Tisha Torres, OG of the game, she looked great against Angela Hill. And Torres' biggest thing was she went on a 4-fight skid in the UFC. Now she's on a 3-fight winning streak. Her biggest thing, in my opinion, was she just didn't go. Their corner's like, you have the cardio, just go. She wouldn't throw. And now in the Angela Hill fight, she went after Angela Hill, and Angela Hill's a badass. And they went out. It was like one of my fights of the night. I like Tisha here by decision. I think it's going to be a great fight for Tisha. I think her footwork's, and she's faster. Her footwork's going to be a little bit better. I think Mackenzie Dern's going to play bully ball a little bit. She's going to want to throw her strikes and kind of clinch up, try to take her down. I think that's going to be unsuccessful. I like Tisha Torres by decision here. I think she's just going to outpoint her. Don't see a finish. If you're going to play a finish, you want to hedge out. Mackenzie Dern can snatch anything at any point. Mm-hmm. So you got Mackenzie Dern by submission, but Tisha Torres, I believe, has never been submitted. So I like Torres by decision there.
Yeah, I think largely we're all aligned. Like, for me, just Torres in this current form, like, I wouldn't be fading her. So I would not be betting against Tisha right now until maybe she regressed a little bit. I think she's on a very good trajectory right now. All right, before we let you go, I just want to get some thoughts on the title fights. We'll start with the main event. I don't know anybody out there laying -720, and you got to be careful, too, with parlay fodder as well. Mm-hmm. Huge price for a men's title fight. How do you handicap the chances for Chan Sung Jung?
You know, 35.
Big gun.
Yeah, but 35 is kind of the age to shit or get off the pot type age right now in this division. Zombie's had a lot of opportunities. I think there was a stat that he hasn't been in a five-round fight since like 2011. He's fought everyone. He's taken long breaks. I know one wasn't really his you know, doing. He had to take the military break. But I like Volkanovski here, man. I the first time I was on this show back in September, I picked Ortega over Volkanovski. I picked Max Holloway over Volkanovski every time. I've constantly disrespect Alex Volkanovski, and he blew me the fuck away in that Ortega fight. That deep guillotine, I thought it was curtains, right? And then he gets out of that, and then immediately, almost like 2 minutes later, into a triangle, which is his fucking move, gets out of that. The heart this guy has, I mean, you're going to have to kill him in there. You're going to have to kill him. Yeah. And I just don't think Zombie is going to be able to do that. And I think Zombie going to fight Reddy in Arizona was amazing move. Great coaches, great training partners. But he's a little stiff, right? His footwork's not that great. He likes to counter and catch you with his big power. That's what he has. He does have overall game, but you're not going to implement that against Volkanovski. And I think Volkanovski's footwork, his angles, his movement, his cardio. I think his power is a little underrated too. I mean, he's been fighting some dudes with some pretty fucking solid chins. I do think he can crack a little bit to improve that number, because I'm not touching this straight. I'm not touching this parlay. I think Volkanovski, if you're minus 720 and you're pound for pound top five in the world, you got to look for a finish. So I think Volkanovski maybe late fight TKO for the fifth round to put a stamp on it. Hey, I'm main event, which I think Yan and Sterling should be the main event. But I'm the main event. I'm the big dog in the yard. I'm minus 720. It might balloon up to 800 when we get the actual fight week. You got to put a stamp on that. And I think that's his focus here. I think he wants a finish.
Well, I was just going to say, for recreational bettors who are just looking to have a little bit of fun, right? Like, put a little scratch on a knockout or submission prop, but sitting on a decision ticket sounds awful.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Sitting all night waiting for Volk by decision. Forget about it.
That's true. Yeah, you got to have some action. Yeah, I'm going to play. I'm not going to touch it parlay-wise. A lot of people, the value boys are coming out screaming, you know, Zombie's got the value. He's been around forever. I get it. It's a crazy number. But I just respect Volkanovski. I'm done disrespecting him. I like him. I like him by TKO here late.
All right, before we let you fly, since I believe I'm having some technical issues here with Boca Raton. Obviously, Ray Longo is a part of this program. Didn't stop Ken Flo from picking Piotr Jan, though. Jan Sterling, BP.
I picked Ken Flo pick out. I picked Sterling, yeah.
You picked Sterling?
Piotr Jan is a pretty big favorite here. Yes. Some would say deservedly so. Other people like that disrespectful adjective. What do you think about Aljo's chances? And ultimately, will you have a wager, sir?
Yes, I'm going to have a wager. And man, I tell you what, I could go 4 hours in this fight. I don't ingest a lot of, like, if I've seen a fight once, I don't have many abilities. My one ability is if I watch a fight once, I got it pretty locked in this fucking head of mine. I've rewatched this like 4 or 5 times this week, and there's so many layers to this fight. That's why I think it should be the main event. They fucking hate each other. The legal knee with the title change. I mean, it's crazy. First things first, though, as an MMA fan, how dare the fans out there boo and hate Sterling for getting kneed in the fucking head illegally? Like, what are we doing here, guys? Yeah. Be better, right? I can take the screaming obnoxious shit, but booing Aljo, who's a fucking star, he's 1A, 1B, depending how you look at 135, and we're all of a sudden not liking him. He's got knee in his fucking head. Like, what are we doing here?
Right.
The guy's the fucking the man. You know, he's good looking. He speaks well. Exciting fighter. He's a finisher as well. And I don't get that. So MMA fans, shame on you. The best fans in the world. But how fucking dare you? Listen, these guys are, like I said, 1A, 1B. I like Petr Jan. Big props to Ray Longo as well, because a lot of coaches, I've seen it myself, where a guy has kind of awkward striking and they're a little offbeat and it's not maybe the most technical in the world. They kind of get changed a little bit. The coach's ego goes, no, my fighters fight like this. Put your hands up like this. Do this. We don't throw kicks that way. Ray let Aljo be Aljo. The funk master is a funk master for a reason. And his offbeat striking, I think, really put a pause in Jan in that first round. Jan likes to read. He slows into the fight. And Jan's the exact opposite. He does everything perfect. Chin down, hands up, marches forward. Yeah. But I think if Aljo didn't get clipped in that first round, one judge did have him win in 2 rounds. I had Aljo losing that first round, only basically got clipped, got put down. Won the second round, and then uncharacteristically started to fade in the third round. And I think he just rushed a little bit. He threw like 80 punches within round one or round two or whatever. Just cut that down by 20%. I love the volume. I love creating scrambles. That's where he's the best. He scrambles. He gets your back. It's fucking curtains. You know what I mean? And Aljo can do that to anybody. And so, man, this is just such a tough fight. Again, I could just keep going on. I'm going to try to condense what I got here. But listen, the podcast loves Aljo. I love Aljo. I've been an Aljo fan since he was on fucking Team Bomb Squad back in the day. John Jones recruited him before he went to Serra Longa. Like, Team Bomb Squad used to have a terrible video blog, and I used to watch it late night because I was a fucking addicted to everything.
Yeah.
And so making the move to Serra Longa is important. So I've been out here forever. I love Ray. I love Ray's a great coach.
He's all right. I mean, enough. Jesus. Right.
My mom's from Long Island. My mom's a female version of Ray Longa. That's why I cuss him.
Okay.
All right. But you know, Cody's obviously got close. Listen, I like Aljo, and I'm not being a homer. I sat down. I was like, you know what, Brian, pick the fight, pick who you think's going to win. Put your head down. Don't care about, you know, Cody's going to delete your number. Ray's going to send guys a knock on your door. Pick the winner. Right. And I sat down, and when you're giving me Aljo at this number, it screams me to put a couple units on it, because it only takes one scramble, one position for Aljo to get your back of me. People are forgetting that Aljo did to Corey Sandhagen, who is an elite guy.
No doubt.
He can do that to anybody. And I know everyone loves Petrion because he's such a fucking beast. But man, I mean, at that number, you're disrespecting Aljo. It's kind of the reverse of Chimaev. Chimaev's getting all this hype and everyone fucking loves him. And now the public opinion of Aljo is a little lower, so you're getting a great number on him. I'm playing great numbers out here. I'm trying to fucking win and play great numbers. And I like Aljo. I think Aljo, I think they're going to fight again. Obviously, I think this will be a trilogy fight. But I can't wait for this fucking fight. I'm fucking jacked. We're not gonna, fucking jacked.
Yeah, I can tell. I love it. We're not gonna make you shave your head if Aljo loses. I think
I appreciate that. I will. Again, I got clippers ready, boys.
Well, and we'll just save that wager, because obviously the Aliyah Latif Alexei Olenek fight is not happening, but eventually there's gonna come a fight and you're gonna chop that
for now.
All right. Well, you can hear more from Brian on this fight card, top to bottom, later in the week. MMA Takes Podcast at MMA Takes Podcast. It shows how much of a non-ego guy you are that your handle is not Brian Petrie. It's just the MMA Takes Podcast. You know, just, guys, just an MMA fan trying to provide fucking good content.
That's what I'm trying to do. I'm not a tout. I don't charge for picks. And then if you come at me in a losing week, I'm not going to block you like soft serve ice cream guys out there. Come at me. I have bad weeks.
Imagine if I said you weren't an ego guy and then like you charged for picks or something.
I can't do it. It's dumb. It makes me sick.
Yeah. Hey, well, you're on a hot streak. And we look forward to talking to you in advance of the next fight card coming up April 16th. I believe it's Vicente Luque and this Muhammad. Channel's Bilal Muhammad. So, have a great day and a better evening. And it's good to see your shining face as always, brother.
Thanks, boys. I'll see you later.
Big gun.
See ya.
Big gun. That's Ryan it. With us on the Anakin Florian podcast. Let's get to the Ray Longo minute.
It's now time for the Ray Longo Minute.
I want you to punch a hole in this fucking chest. That's what I want.
The Ray Longo Minute.
Starring Ray Longo. The John Anik and Kenny Florian Podcast.
Ray Longo now joins us, as he does every week here on the Anik and Florian Podcast. So just wrapped up with a more high-profile program, as I understand it.
Yes, Embedded was here today.
Wow.
Wow, this is big. Once again,
it's real.
Once again, Aljo looked really good today. I'm very excited. You know, look, we got the weight cut and the rehigh to go, but if the fight was today, I got the better guy.
He looks like an absolute monster. Ken Flo watched the fight back. I will. I have yet to do so. But I think he had some thoughts in terms of, you know, the first fight and some things that maybe Aljo could have seen that you guys might have seen on film. Ken Flo.
Ray, yeah. I wanted to ask you about actually the weight cut first, because you mentioned that. I think a lot of people forget or may have forgotten that he didn't have a great weight cut the first time around. I know he was trying some new things. How have things changed, and how is that going so far?
Okay, look, we talked about it. Look, before the fight, like the day before the fight, that's why even the weight cut thing was new to me when he said it. But look, I think Aljo's an honest guy, and I had this conversation with him like months ago. He's like, "Oh, you got to tell me the truth. If it was really a weight cut, like a bad weight cut, that's going to make a big difference." He said it was horrible. and he didn't have the energy. He just wasn't himself. And you got to remember, now he's had the operation also. So he always had that injury in the back of his mind. Look, mentally, he's in a good spot. But Kenny, as you know, that bewitching week of cutting weight, and not only sometimes you cut weight and that's great, and then the rehab goes south, right? So everything goes good. Like, again, based on what I'm looking at, I 100% have the better guy.
Right. You know, as I went back and watched the fight, I thought the first two rounds were for Aljo. But what I saw was it seemed like it wasn't sustainable, the pacing. Right. It seemed like he was maybe a little bit excited, overly excited, or I don't know, maybe too nervous. But when I saw the fight, I was like, Aljo was doing great. And then he stopped being as varied with his attack. He wasn't mixing it up as much. And I think that's when he started to allow Piotr Jan back into the fight. What was your sense of that fight going in there? And what kind of, adjustments are you guys hoping to make in this rematch?
Yeah, look, Kenny, I think you'll agree with me, because a lot of people have watched the fight and said, you know what? For a guy that didn't feel good, he was doing really good.
Yeah.
He really was. Now, the aesthetics of some of that fight were awful. You know, he's flopping around. He got taken down like schoolyard tripped. And, you know, somebody's throwing punches half-assed and lobbing his kicks out there. It's not going to happen this time. You know, we've talked about it. I think we made the right corrections. And, you know, me and Al told him, I think last week, we're just happy that he did his whole camp here. We're all vibing together. I think it'll make a difference. But Aljo said, look, he goes, honestly, I could have had the camp anywhere. I was not going to perform that night. So he's sticking to that. He's healthy. His head's in the right spot. He's super fucking talented. His ground game looks off the charts. And I'm super excited for this fight. For a plus 360, that's 100% wrong.
Yeah, that's a huge price.
Yeah.
Have you guys had a single conversation, excuse me, about this fight being in a bigger octagon than the first one was in? Like, wasn't that first fight in the Apex?
First fight was in the Apex.
That's
yeah.
crazy, look, man.
I told this to Aljo too, and I'm not making a big deal out of it, but, you know, like even during the sparring, when Matt Serra's here and he's coaching him on the ground, it's a huge difference. Unfortunately, yeah. Matt's not going to make the fight, but he has been here for the camp. But to me and everybody around, it's a big deal. It really is. So, you know, I might say that last fight was probably the worst corner job I've ever had in my life. And again, I was with three guys I've never in the corner before. That's not me.
Right.
I'm US not that
championship fight. I know we talked a lot.
I'm not that guy, man. And it's, I'm not blaming anybody. It's not, but for me, it just wasn't good. I'll be way better this time. You know, it's me, Al, Marab, Dennis Bazooka. Everybody's together. We're all on the same page. I think it's going to make a difference, but look, he's got to go out and prove it, you know, but you know, even as of today, when he left me, I couldn't be happy. I couldn't be in a better spot. And it is what it is, man. That's it. I'm excited for the fight, and he's going to fucking fight him. There's no question about it.
I think it, you know, it's overlooked, but it really does make a difference, both when you're in the corner and when you're the fighter. When you have a group that's hasn't been together before and they're cornering for the first time, no one knows kind of when to go first, who has what role.
Yeah.
I think it's super important, whether it comes from the fighter or otherwise, of knowing who has the role, what everybody's role is, all that stuff. It can be really confusing of when you're supposed to say something, who's supposed to say what, of, you know, maybe chaos being in the corner, confusion.
Yeah.
That's a real thing. And I've been a
100%.
Part of both of those dynamics. It's tricky, man.
You know, so I believe he loves everybody in that corner, which is a big deal. You know, him and Marab, obviously their bond is crazy.
Yeah.
Him and Al have been friends for years. Bazooka, he loves. It's going to be a different thing. I think he's going to put his mind in the right spot. And again, he's got to make the correction on the eating. And, you know, because I said to him, I go, Aljo, you had fucking 40 fights. Like, why all of a sudden do you... And he had an explanation for it. But look, I think he's a quirky guy, but he's honest. I don't think that guy's ever lied to me.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? So I'm basing a lot of what I'm saying on what my conversations with him were. I 100% believe him. He wins this fight. I'll even switch some of the things I do as a coach because I'm still learning, obviously. And, you know, just to even get in the groove with him, you know, so – But anytime he's been in front of me, this camp, I think he's been absolutely perfect.
Well, if your conviction doesn't move the betting line, then I don't know what would. And yeah, candidly, as a coach or broadcaster or anybody, if you're not getting better, I would think you're getting worse. You're probably not staying the same. You're either getting better or getting worse. Yeah. So I did go to school for journalism. Like, am I allowed to ask why Matt Serra's not going to be in the corner or no?
You know, he committed to something with the police force. That was a kind of a big deal. And I think, you know, based on not being there the last time, maybe everything, you'd have to talk. You'd have to actually ask him, though. So, I'm, you know, I'm 100% not talking for him, John, because you want him attacking me for the fucking third time. You put me in.
Serra Longo won.
Podcast. You know, I'm glad I'm busy Monday. I don't know what to do right now. Maybe Cody can get in touch with him. But anyway, Nas's fight did not last very long. Congratulations on a big win. Seems like you might really have something here, huh?
Yeah, big, big win. Nas is a killer, man. His boxing is, he does everything really well. So you're going to see that kid in the really near future. Probably this summer, I'm anticipating, but he's on fire right now, which is good.
That's great. All right. Go ahead.
Can I just say one thing? And for all the Minutemen out there, listen, when Aljo comes out, I want the USA chants. I want people screaming. You know what I mean? Because not for anything, but me and Rubenstein have a bet. Mick Maynard's holding our money, and whoever gets the loudest applause, you know. I'm just worried about Rubenstein because I looked up the word treason. I'm afraid he might get arrested. No, I'm not even joking. He might get arrested for treason. He might not even make the fight.
Right.
So,
right. Danny Rubin's Jewish. I think he's still getting a Russian flag tattooed after the fight, if I'm not mistaken. Win or lose.
Then we'll definitely put him behind bars for sure. That'll solidify it.
But if you are an American Fight fan and you're going to be in the building in Jacksonville, take that as your rallying cry and get behind the Stars and fucking Stripes out
there. Yeah, come on.
I'm rooting for Piotr Jan, incidentally, but if you're in the building, and you can cheer.
you son of a bitch, you.
Yeah, you're kidding me. I mean. All right. So I have a few things UFC 273 related that I would like to get to with you. That's why I kind of wanted to congratulate Nas and make sure we did that.
Nice. Thank you.
Khamzat Chimaev. Need I say more? He's -525 as the betting favorite against Gilbert Burns, who is number two in the world. Burns is +385. 18th UFC appearance, if I'm not mistaken, for Gilbert Burns. He has been there. He has done that. He has fought for the UFC title. A segment of the population believe this is a disrespectful betting line. I kind of think that's a lazy take. I think that the betting line is kind of holding here, if not moving more towards Chimaev. So that certainly doesn't dovetail with whatever opinion is out there. You know, I'm very close to the Burns camp. I'm so excited to see what he can do with this opportunity. I want to get your thoughts on Khamzat Chimaev and ultimately how competitive this fight is going to be relative to the betting number.
Look, I mean, I like Gilbert Burns. He's 100, just a nice guy. But this guy looks like he's just too big, too strong. Anything I see of him training, I really don't know much. You know, we watch what he does in the fights. He's been so dominant. But, I mean, the guy's for real. His hands look real. Like, again, his wrestling is off the charts. He's a handful, man, for anybody right now. I really do. I really believe that. And, I think he's a guy that spars hard. He's not going to be thrown by anything. You know, this is a major, major problem, this kid. Major problem.
Dustin Poirier was going to fight Khabib Nurmagomedov. And, again, we've talked on this podcast about different approaches when you're going to fight Khabib. Do you spend the entire training camp in bad positions, or do you just make it a really boring fight and not even let them get close to your leg? But Dustin was saying in the lead up to the fight, you know, I really don't know what this guy's going to feel like until I grapple with him. And it turns out he feels like a fucking bear. And I think in a lot of respects for Gilbert, you know, you let a little doubt creep, you know, get back to your feet after Khamzat takes you down. And then all of a sudden the crowd goes bananas. You know, the pressure of the world is on the shoulders of Khamzat Chimaev. And even though Gilbert obviously feels some, you know, there's a lot on the shoulders of Chimaev, and he's put a lot of it there himself, you know? So,
yeah, listen, I think this is kind of a good time to be fighting Khamzat Chimaev because we still don't know a whole lot. We haven't seen him challenged. And again, he is such a big favorite. And for Gilbert Burns, who has been fighting at the highest level, especially as of late, it's a perfect scenario for him. It doesn't mean he's going to go out there and be successful straight away. But, you know, if you're going to fight a guy with a bunch of hype, you know, at this stage, this is the time to do it. So
I think it's a pretty good place to be for Gilbert Burns. I think it's going to be an interesting fight.
Who do you think wins that fight?
So, I picked Khamzat. Khamzat. I think Chimaev gets it done. I picked Aljo. But you know, I think we're going to learn a lot about Khamzat, either way.
Ray, I will just say, I just was at the Institute of Human Performance yesterday, and talked to Rio Santana, who I work with, and Gilbert obviously works with JC Santana and Rio.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, I don't feel like it's coach speak or hyperbole when they tell me, you know, that he's 188 pounds and ripped out of his mind, and he now is able to like eat, and he's going into fight week in a really good place. You know, like Hayes in the barn for him. I mean, he couldn't have put himself in a better position to try to win this fight. You know, I just think maybe we could be talking about weight classes for a reason on Monday morning. You know, I feel like, you know, with Khamzat, it's like, you know, there are people like me who get criticized for giving him too much credit, right? And then if he beats Gilbert, people are going to say Burns is a lightweight. He lost to Dan Hooker, you know? So, I mean, you're not going to please everybody, but I think he's the real deal. I have never seen a prospect like Khamzat Chimaev, and I've been sitting in that chair for 11 years. So take it or leave it.
Yeah, he's, I think the guy's a handful. And again, any training footage I've seen out of him, I'm not seeing anything that could be exploited at this point. But, you know, like, again, the beauty of MMA is, you know, you zig when you should have zagged and the fight's over and anything can happen. So I don't know. He just seems, even mindset is just on point, you know.
Doesn't he's not, lack confidence.
Yeah, he doesn't. Like, I don't think it's fake confidence. I mean,
no.
I'm buying. I think the guy's for real. I think he loves to train. He loves to fight. I think that's a dangerous guy. I don't care when you get him, but should that line be that big? I mean, I'd be a little insulted, I guess, if I was Gilbert Burns, but he's got a major problem in front of him.
I know I'm a fucking amateur, Ken Flo, but I can't wait for the leech. Li Jingliang, when's his next fight? Has he fought since the Chimaev fight, Cody? Right? Let's see how, you know, the rest of the Leech's career looks, if that's such an easy fucking fight. God damn.
Wait, what is that? What's your point on that?
Well, no, it's just that, you know, what do people think of Li Jingliang, right? That he's some fucking slouch with double-digit UFC wins, you know? I mean...
And even if he, you know, even if he was a slouch, he got crushed immediately, you know what I mean? Right. So he's not that much of a slouch,
right?
You know, I didn't see that. Did you think that was going to happen that quick?
I've been on the Khamzat hype train for a long time, you know.
It just looks like he's doing the right thing to me. And again, I'm not totally following him, but whatever I see, I go, well, you know,
yeah.
You know, big. You know, it's not like he's undersized. Right. You know, he's a major fucking problem.
And with respect to, say, Paddy Pimblett, who looks like he's on 20 lbs. Khamzat wants nothing. He's doing this, you know, 24/7, 365. He's fucking beast in 25/8, Khamzat Chimaev, you know?
Yeah, look, here's two things, right? So even if you compare him to Paddy, right? I mean, that looks like hype. The Chimaev thing doesn't look like that much hype to me. Like, if you even compare it to that, you could see the hype in Paddy, but he's got a long way to go. This guy's getting hype. I think he's right where he wants to be. The only X factor is, you know, we had the COVID, and that's definitely not a joke. I've seen guys with that long haul syndrome, and I've seen them deal. If that maybe is a problem, wait, come here. Hold on one second. Got a special guest for you. Special. Like, only
Don't
here on the Anik Florian.
Tell me.
Now, even better. My man.
Marav.
All right. Now, if
George's finest.
We got 2/3 of the corner over there.
Marav Dwalishvili in the flesh, one of the greatest bantamweights in the world. Great to see you, Marav.
Sorry about that. Yeah.
Marav.
Oh, so do it again. Yeah.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Oh, it is great to see you. How you feeling?
Very good. I feel very good and happy because we just finished a very good training camp with Aljo, and he feels amazing. The takedown, like timing, striking, everything's on point. He looks awesome.
And what better guy to push him than this guy?
How are you doing with your shoulder and clavicle and all that?
I'm good. I'm able to training and I feel good. I'm good. I'm back.
He just puts duct tape on. That's all. He's good.
Yeah, rub some tussin on there.
Yeah, right.
So you'll be in the corner in Jacksonville this weekend, I take it, yes?
Yes. I'll be just corner too.
And are you going to get one of these other bantamweights to fight you? I feel like some of these guys might be avoiding you. That's what I'm hearing.
He wants to fight. Yeah, he's ready to go in June or July. He's ready to go, right?
Yeah, exactly. Whoever, I'm just more than ready. And whoever will be, I don't care. Of course, I think I deserve somebody from top five because I'm ranked six. And because of I have 7 win streak, I think they have to give me somebody who's
in front of you.
But either way, I'm fine. I just wanna first I wanna enjoy Aljo's victory, and after I'm ready.
Well, just so you know, I don't know if you listen to the Anakin Florian podcast, but you get a lot of love on these airwaves, and we're excited to see you make your run to the championship whenever that happens. I know your teammate has the belt, but a lot of love here, my man, and we appreciate you hopping on for a few minutes, brother.
Thank you so much, and it's really big honor for me to hear. Sometimes I've been listening. I'm not watching every episode, but yes,
that's quite all right. And I hope I didn't bother you the other night walking out of the arena when I was
I was looking at you, I looked like you had a lot of pretty women
around you. So
I tell you, unbelievable. No guy code with him, Rob. It's awful. No. Yes, no. Oh my God, he went right back to that.
That's my fault. So
always happy to see you.
Pleasure, my man. Hey, have always a good rest of the day. We'll see you in Jacksonville. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. All right.
Rob, buddy, take it easy. Surprise appearance on the Anakin Florian podcast. That is great. I mean, if I couldn't have Aljo right then and there, Rob would be my second choice. I got a little bit nervous. I thought it was going to be fucking Sterling.
And again, I got to tell you, I mean, that's the beauty of him. He wouldn't have fought because Aljo was fighting. He's just a great teammate, team player to the max. And I don't know, I think the world of the guy. So on all levels.
Marab will accept a fight with a broken shoulder, fight with it and not even blink. He's got to pass those medicals. All right. Last thing before we let you fly. Alexander Volkanovski. If you think he's going to win the featherweight championship this weekend, a straight wager of $700 pays you $100. I mean, this is a huge betting line. And I don't know if, as a coach, when you have a plus 500 underdog, I think, Ken Flo was on the call when Matt Serra fought George St. Pierre. I don't know if you change your risk mitigation processes when you're a plus 500 underdog, as the Korean Zombie is. But I don't know how competitive you think the main event is before we let you go.
I think Volkanovski's winning, but I think it'll be competitive.
All right.
But I think Volkanovski gets the job. I'm probably thinking decision in this too, right? What are the lines on it? Volkanovski winning by decision?
I don't have the propositions this early in the week, but obviously you're getting a far juicier price if you can pick the round or the method, So, maybe that's the way to go, I don't know. We broadcast like finishes. So hopefully your guy can fucking produce one in the co-headliner. I love you.
Love you guys too. And I want a W. I don't give a fuck how we get there.
Amen, brother. Well, I hope you get it, man. You really are a legend. The way you approach your craft and, having champions in 3 different eras. And, we're just thankful that you continue to take our call. And, tell Matt Serra we're going to keep trying to grease you as much as possible.
Dude, I'm not touching that. We'll talk about that when I see you.
We will.
Don't know what you're dealing with. That's the problem.
Hey, 508, he's got my number. He can call me any fucking time. We're right here. The DMX, we're right here. Much love.
But it's going to be a good night. Look, I'm so excited. And even the embedded guy goes, the culture of this gym, just the excitement today and the camaraderie. And obviously, they got to witness other sparring with some of the up and coming guys. But man, it's still going, man. I want to get out, they drag me back in again. It's the old saying. But, I love it. I think it's keeping me young. And I'm just going to ride the train until the fucking wheels come off. And one of them's already off. So. You'll see me limping around, but I don't give a fuck. Maybe. I don't know. All right. I feel good. Today I feel good. But
all right. Well, the Minutemen are happy to fund a new.
Yeah, let's go. They got a rally. I want that. I got to win that bet. That's the all first thing.
Hey, get a win. Let's have a championship Monday next week, okay?
Awesome, buddy. Thanks, guys.
Ray Longo. See you every week here on the Anik and Florian podcast. If you did happen to get a Ray Longo fight team or Sarah Longo piece of merchandise on our website, it's a limited edition. Because they're gone. They're all off the website. So that's a conversation for another day. All right, before we get on out of here, we call on our esteemed producer. His name is Cody Merrow. That's a three shot for you on television. Hi, Cody.
How's it going?
Fine.
That went about as well as it could have, I think.
Oh, man. Maybe someday for this loyal listener.
Maybe never.
Ken Flo doesn't even know the details right now as of this taping. He will find them out on the other side. But Cody, what do you have for us before we get the fuck out of here, huh?
Well, so at some point I'm going to come up with a stinger for this, but right now the Merrow second, so a couple of quick points for you guys. Gastelum out versus Duplessis.
Yeah.
Second time this fight was canceled at 273. Hope KG can get healthy, maybe fight in Arizona, something he was talking about for his next bout.
It's interesting, Kenny, because I believe Anthony Fluffy Hernandez was going to fight Drakus Duplessis, and then they got a replacement for him, and now Drakus is off the card completely. So yeah, that is of interest.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Rough.
What else you got?
So number two, bantamweight all-time leaders. Takedown defense, takedown accuracy. Yan takedown defense, 89.6%, fourth all-time. His accuracy is 61.5%, third all-time. Aljamain is 10th all-time with 21 takedowns. The man in his corner is number one with 50.
Wow.
It's a plus 15 differential between the second guy. Submission wins in all weight classes. Aljamain has 4. The man next to me has 7 for 7th all time in the UFC for submission wins. So I just thought Kenny needed a shout out there with the shirt.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Well, guys, thank you.
Really quick ones on Chimaev. 10-0, 7 first round finishes, never seen a third round. 118 strikes in his debut. That's plus 122 differential for the whole fight. 10 days later, 68-0, did a striking shutout. You don't see strikeouts in MMA. Shutouts in MMA.
Right.
Quickest fighter in the UFC to 3-0 by 39 days. 192 and 2 strikes in 1 year. 4 50K bonuses in his first 4 fights, which has never been done.
Really?
Wow. How about also that? Never been done. Nobody's ever been slapped at the Oscars. That happened last weekend.
I don't know
if everyone saw that. The detail will be up on ESPN sooner rather than
later. Who got
later.
Slapped? Who was it who got slapped, Cody?
Chris Rock. Chris Rock got slapped on stage.
Rhetorical. I mean, I think everybody knows it. Fuck Chris Rock. Shout out to Chris Rock, by the way.
Yeah,
I'll leave it at that. That's
loyal
all
listener.
I got on that.
Loyal listener. He was in Boston, is actually where he first talked about the fight. So
the Wilbur Theater, right?
There you go.
And I will just say, for girl dads out there, I'm not a dad myself, but King Richard, the Oscar-winning performance by Will Smith, was absolutely fantastic. So highly recommend everyone watch that. Really good messages there. Just a great dad, you know, pushing his kids to bigger and better things.
I'd have to end my Will Smith boycott then to watch the King Richard. No, I really want to see it. There's really no boycott. All right, we got to get on out of here. Spirited show today. Thank you to our guests, James Krause, Ray Longo, Big Gun, Brian Petrie. If you want merchandise, these Kenny Florian t-shirts flying off the shelves. AnikFlorianPodcast.com. Those are still there for purchase. One more sleep merch can be had at millions.co. And a rear naked choke workshop coming to a UFC gym near you. But in the meantime, Kenny Florian Martial Arts. .com. KennyFlorianMartialArts.com for all of your Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu needs. And honestly, you know, I have a lot of fun with my lack of training, but I do believe that fundamentally this is the best thing on the internet right now if you really want to approach Jiu-Jitsu the right way in 2022. We will be back next weekend, probably late Sunday night on YouTube with our next episode. We will recap UFC 273 and we'll see what Gilbert Burns has for Khamzat Chimaev. We'll see if we have a new champion undisputed wise at either bantamweight or featherweight. Thanks to our producer Cody Merrow. For Ken Flo, I'm John Anik, saying so long for now. Until next week, do not text and drive. Shout out to the fucking leech, Li Jing Liang. We'll talk, Lee. Yo, later. Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family owned from the start. Same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Beckley SAB to CV 2024, Proximo, Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.